In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me start by saying that when I was in eighth grade, there was a new show on television that came on 10 o'clock on Fridays, 10 o'clock in the evening, and that was a day that I went to Maricosta's football games or whatever sporting event was going on there. But I always rushed home, even when I was a freshman and there was a dance going on, so that I wouldn't miss this show. And some of you will remember, da 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 da. Some of you may not. It's still playing on the marathons of Twilight Zone. Are we on the same page? As you watched and listened, a deep and resonant voice is heard, and visual and auditory cues come toward you, and here are the words that are spoken over these sights and sounds. There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone. Normally, once the logo broke, you would see, it was black and white, this rather short guy with a cigarette in his hand with gray curling smoke around his head emerge, and you would also then see somebody who was headed into the Twilight Zone. And it was usually somebody who was expecting one thing and they got something else. Pretty much like our lives, right? Especially like the life that we hear about in Genesis today. Do you know that the entire reading that we had done today was a vision and then a dream? Did you get that? God comes to Abram in a vision. Da 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 da. He's an old guy, and in fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, your old men shall see visions, your young men shall see dreams. That's from Pentecost. And the Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon them. So there's Abraham having a conversation with God about what's coming up, what's next. I'm old. I have a friend from high school. He was our foreign exchange student. He is my age, and I'm 69, and he has a one-year-old daughter. Talk about the Twilight Zone. But here is Abraham, and he's being told a couple things. You are going to inherit this huge bit of land. It's almost boundaryless, except for the rivers. And Abraham has a question. Well, if I have all this land, to whom will I leave it? I have no children. I'm old. My wife's old. What in the world is this vision all about? God says, you know, I'm going to give you land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Takes him out and says, look at the stars in the heavens. That's what your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren all the way forward are going to inherit. They're going to inherit this land. You know, sometimes God speaks to us in ways that we can understand. And if you're in a patriarchy, as Abram was, he got land and he got children. He understood those things. Perhaps those things aren't as important today. But for him, this was something that represented God's gift to him. But in the God zone, that's not the case. In the God zone, when we enter into that twilight moment where we have a vision of God, sometimes it's comfortable, sometimes it's not. Everything we do in worship is a preparation for experiencing a moment in the God zone, a personal moment. This is rehearsal. This is almost like understudying Abram. It's like a play. If you can get his part and understand how he responds, you might do well in the God zone. You might also benefit from Psalm that we had today. Beautifully sung, thank you, choir. John. It starts out in light and descends into darkness and enemies, adversaries. And at the end it says, blessed are those who are waiting patiently on the Lord. There is a trusting. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us for sure know how we're going to respond to a particular crisis, which, by the way, the word crisis comes from the Greek word krites, which means judgment. Our personal crises, our corporate crises, are moments of judgment. They are moments of being in the God zone. Notice how you prepared to be in the God zone today. You said a confession. Great way to start. If you go in naked, it's hard to get stripped. Abram didn't have a clue that the one who was giving him a gift was the gift. Somewhere down the path of history, the one who promised became the one who was promised. In Jesus. Lent's a time for our community to enter into the God twilight zone, to hear these stories from the ancient past, and not to stand back and say, oh my God, I don't want to be in the God twilight zone because I really don't want to have children at 69. If you read it literally, you're in trouble, and it should be rejected. But if you read it from your heart, as the psalmist suggests, it may take you to a place of transformation. It will take you to dark places, but in those dark places you will experience light. Henry Vaughan called it the deep and dazzling darkness that some say is in God, and that lights our way. So we have a time to enter into the God's twilight zone as individuals, and you see Jesus kind of enter into one during the gospel lesson from Luke. So you've got a petty politician who wasn't even a king. Caesar wouldn't call him a king. He's a tetrarch, a ruler of a part of. Who the Pharisees, who are obviously his friends, probably his legal staff, come to him and say, Herod's out to kill you. Well, maybe that's a way of Herod trying to get Jesus out of Herod's territory. Maybe not. And Jesus' response is, tell that fox that I'm going to do what I'm going to do for the next 3 days. Notice the word, the symbol of three. And on the third day. So on the first and the second day, he's doing exorcism, casting out demons, creating community without anybody being left out. When you think about Jesus throwing out demons, you think green pea soup, heads twirling. I want you to think about it in a different way. I want you to think about it in the way of a community being formed without anyone being left out. That what Jesus did by throwing out the demon in an individual was to restore that individual to community. And you might also want to consider that in the twilight zone of God, the demon is a community-sponsored event and personality. It's our worst fears, our worst desires cast on to another person so that we don't have to take responsibility. And Jesus casts out our communal demons and says, let's be the human race together in community. Let's love one another. Let's show mercy to one another. Let's engage in God's life here. And then he says something interesting about being a mother hen. You notice in the hymn we sang about Abram, eagle is mentioned, right? On eagle's wings. And you probably, most of us love that song, on eagle's wings. Yeah. But what was that the symbol of in Jesus' day? Huh? Roman Empire. So it's interesting that he didn't try to co-opt the symbol of human power. Instead, he went with a mother hen. And before you dismiss that in the God twilight zone, think about this. On the first day of creation, which is recorded in Genesis, God, the Spirit of God, broods over creation. Well, who else broods but a mother hen? And Jesus says, oh, how I wish that you, like little chicks, would come to me and be sheltered by me. But you would not. You will not. N.T. Wright, who is a New Testament scholar, tells an interesting story about finding a mother hen after a barnyard fire. And underneath the mother hen were these little chicks that were still alive. That the mother hen laid down her life for her chicks. What better symbol could Jesus have picked for what he was about? Not only about a new creation, but a salvific moment, a moment of redemption, a moment of saving, a moment of mercy. People who wish to say that the Bible doesn't have much to say to us because it's written by a bunch of sheep herders from well before we were really bright and modern, really are missing out on a great gift. And I think Rod Serling was brilliant in creating The Twilight Zone because each and every one of those shows was about a moment of crisis in a human being's life and in the life of community. It challenged, it pushed limits. And so do these stories from Scripture. In a very short time, we will reach Good Friday. In a very short time, we will experience again this story of Jesus as Mother Hen, who, when we will not gather together under that shelter of God, will climb upon a Roman cross and be humiliated and shamed and suffer and die. And underneath his arms and his wings will be creation's new birth. Amen.